right. Thank you, Kane. 806 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig. Got Quinn Hilliard joining us in a second. Dalton just got the update from ADPH and the numbers coming in for today on cases of COVID-19 in the state.
Yeah, they just had a pretty massive update here in the last 30 minutes or so. We'll have to talk about maybe what changed, but 5,092 confirmed cases in the state. That's not much different from what was reported this morning. That's an addition of maybe 40 or 50 from what we had earlier. They report two numbers for the number of deaths in the state due to COVID-19. There are the reported deaths, and then there are those that ADPH has confirmed died from COVID-19. The reported deaths is at 173, but the big jump in the last 30 minutes is those that have officially died from the illness. This morning, we were reporting right around 113 confirmed by ADPH. That number is now up to 144, so a jump by about 31 that they say they've confirmed died from COVID-19. 48,387 total tests have been performed. And then also a massive jump in the number of hospitalizations since March 13th. That number is up to 699 now. But with that jump in the number that have died from the illness, there are now three deaths in Baldwin County attributed to COVID-19, 117 total cases in Baldwin County, 686 total cases in Mobile County, and 28 deaths, which was a huge jump from what they were reporting earlier. 16 cases in Washington County with one death, 24 cases in Clark County, but they've added a death to Clark County, 9 cases in Monroe County with one death, 16 in Escambia, 17 cases in Choctaw, 9 in Conecuh, and 49 cases in Wilcox County with one death. And you look at Mobile County and Jefferson County and how those compare, being the two biggest hotspots in the state. So I said Mobile has 686 total cases and 28 confirmed deaths with 35 reported deaths. Jefferson County only has 5 more confirmed cases now, 691, but only 16 verified deaths coming out of Jefferson County.
So I wonder that jump today, if that's for clerical reasons or that shows, you know, that they went back and maybe they've readjusted how they make declarations on cause of death. Or so. I'm not saying it is, but it just at least makes me wonder if we'll get more information from Scott Harrison, today's presser, if there's something changed, you know, that there weren't that, it just they qualify things differently or something.
I'm not sure. And, you know, one thing I have noticed following this Alabama Department of Public Health COVID-19 dashboard every single hour of the morning show for the last few weeks is they do sometimes go back and readjust some of the numbers. Like, for instance, they at one point had, I think, 18 cases in Choctaw County, and then I checked this morning and it was knocked down to 17. So there's varying reports that they adjust from hour to hour, from day to day, but that's a huge jump. I mean, just 30 minutes ago we were reporting 113 confirmed deaths. Now it's up to 144.
All right. We'll watch that throughout the day and report on it here at FM Talk 106.5. But we had talked about some of the trends down, number of new cases trending down. And in the Southeast, this has been something that is, I guess, green-lighted to some degree, states reopening. The biggest story this morning, of course, the state of Georgia and their reopening, but some areas of Florida, South Carolina, and Tennessee setting pretty close timelines to get open at some level back to normal. Joining us right now from QuinnHilliard.com. Also read his work in the Washington Examiner, and he is the author of the Mad Jones trilogy, available right now on Amazon. Ladies and gentlemen, Quinn Hilliard. Hey, man.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning. So Georgia's getting most of the attention this morning, so we can focus on that, although there are other states doing the same thing. But Governor Kemp getting things open back up in Georgia.
Yeah, and look, I have not been a fan of Governor Kemp. He's done and said some pretty stupid things during this process, but there is something to be said for intelligent reopening. In most places, you know, granted you can't do it in New York where so many people rely on the subway, and that's of course just a moving petri dish, but in most places I don't understand why you can't tell every business that you're allowed to reopen, you know, maybe county by county. Let the county officials decide, but tell within each county, you're allowed to reopen as long as you maintain these rules. You maintain the rules of the distancing. You maintain the rule, you know, maybe you require masks or, you know, put some sort of rules in place, and you don't force anybody to reopen, but you allow people to do so. By now, every one of us knows that if we're anywhere near where, you know, you might be a crowded place, or even a populated place, because, of course, you don't want crowds, period, but you're probably smart to wear a mask.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's washing their hands 25 times a day. Everybody is that's intelligent is staying at least 6, maybe 10 feet away from everybody else. There, you can have rules about, you know, only X number of people per square foot. Basically, the same rules that are in effect for the big boxes, there's no reason you can't have those rules, you know, adjusted per square foot for little mom-and-pop shops. But we've got to get the economy going, and people have to be able to you know, treat this, even though it's a much worse ailment if you get it badly than the flu is for most people. You've still got to be able to treat this like adults and go on with our lives, and there's got to be, as we said last week, a happy medium.
Yeah, one thing I wonder about this, and I'll play devil's advocate for a second, because I agree that there should be some measured path to reopening. But people, I guess, will argue that, okay, these businesses are going to reopen. Let's say somebody has a different opinion than that thinks it's a bigger danger. The business owner has the motivation to open, to keep the business open. I get it. I'm on their side. But right now I'm on the other side to make this argument. But the worker is going to say, I'm going to be compelled to come back to work, and I don't feel like it's safe right now to do that. I mean, how do you navigate that?
Well, how you navigate that is you make it all optional. I mean, the no business owner that was closed under the rules that exist today would be able to compel their people to come back to work. Until you have a much more massive reopening. If it's not an essential business, it would have to still, everything would have to be voluntary. And you're going to have to come up with certain kinds of criteria. What about X? What not about Y? But to tell the business owner that he can't open, you know, maybe he's got to run the whole thing himself. Well, let him run the whole thing himself, but at least give him the opportunity to earn a living as long as he maintains the safe distancing and all the rest of it. I mean, it's not fair to the mom-and-pop shop.
I agree.
That sells the exact same thing that the big box stores sell. It's not, and it's not good for our supply chain and for health down the line and for all these other, you know, other considerations that come into play. And again, this is not to say this isn't bad, but it is to say that you know, we're all adults, we're all free people, we all should be able to exercise some degree of common sense.
Agreed. But, you know, I just see that worry from, you know, I'm just seeing where the arguments may come from. And on the mom and pop thing, I've been arguing the same thing for a while. And even outside of what is right about this, you know, because if the mom and pop can comply the same way the box store does, I think they should, like you, be able to be in business and operate. I would question, you know, with this, if you got the mom and pops open, I think it's from a health, I'd love to hear from somebody who's epidemiologist or something to discuss this, because I think it's safer. And the reason I think it's safer is if you concentrate people, that's what we're trying not to do. And by the nature of these closures, we are concentrating people to fewer and fewer places to pick up whatever widget it is.
Exactly. And it's
a narrow, it's a narrow path there that if, not saying it is, but if COVID-19 is present there, then more people have a chance to come across it versus if you had multiple places with fewer people coming through there. Not saying that COVID-19 couldn't be possibly present in all of the facilities, but at least by the odds, everybody wouldn't be funneled into the same place. And maybe somebody with statistics or some epidemiologist can prove me wrong, but that's just kind of my gut sense on it.
It's not just gut sense, it's common sense. And you're absolutely right. And look, I am not criticizing one bit anybody, you know, anywhere across the country, governors, public health officials, that for 2 weeks or a month said, this thing is like something we've never seen before, we've got to have a shutdown. I'm not criticizing that, but I'm saying, okay, now we're learning more, we're getting more statistics, we're finding out that that more people have probably had it, but fewer people are dying. You know, we know a little bit about what we're dealing with, and in a lot of places we think we're probably a little past the peak. Start to get back to normal with some sort of voluntary measures. That's all I'm saying.
So what do you think on timelines? You look at Georgia opening now. Do you think between that opening of bordering states, Tennessee and Georgia, and that report that came out from the Small Business Task Force and Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth last week, do you think there's going to be, because the governor's going to call this shot, Scott Harris is going to call this shot, do you think you think they're going to comply with all? Do you think there's, right now they said it was going to be till the 28th, till they talked about it again, they'd have this other presser. Do you think this happens sooner than later?
I think they might wait another week. But I think they probably are right now doing some serious planning about what the new rules are. And I also do think it should be not a mandatory reopening, but a county by county kind of thing, where county officials, if they think necessary, can still for a certain amount of time keep things more under lockdown than not if things are worse in a particular county. But I do think Kay Ivey is of the general opinion that the sooner back to work, the better. And so I would expect, once they come back in the 28th, I should expect some sort of concerted reopening plan.
Another part of this, I think, is the messaging. I don't know if Kemp has done this, but I heard Senator Kennedy talk about Louisiana to mention he was a proponent, obviously, of getting, well, not obviously, but he's a proponent of getting businesses back open. But he was saying then that people need to know, and I guess this is probably a fair guess, no proof, but when we get back open, there's going to be another spike in cases. And as long as that messaging, I think that's a fair thing to say before you open up the state, say, hey, we want to do this. But y'all know that, the stats show we'll probably have another little spike coming up here. So people don't react and shut everything back down. You know, make that decision, say, there's a chance we open these things back up, we're going to have another spike in number of cases as we open things back up bit by bit.
That is probably going to be the case, but it will probably be a small spike. Look, I'm not an epidemiologist, but I can understand, we can all understand the concept. And the concept was flattening. It doesn't mean once you get to the peak, you start rapidly declining. What it meant is you wanted to spread out the incidents that are basically going to keep happening until you get either a good treatment for the symptoms or until you get a vaccine. And one way or another, the overall numbers are likely to be close to the same. As long as you're not overwhelming hospitals, then to have little spikes along the way is probably not bad. I mean, for every individual that gets it, it's awful. But a lot of, I mean, the statistics show that basically, in the long run, after you've done the social distancing, et cetera, after you've taken all the steps that you can reasonably take, the total numbers are going to be approximately the same, whether you do, version A of X or version B of X, And so little spikes along the way are going to be expected. The thing to do is just to make sure that you don't have a big spike.
There you go.
Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And remind folks, too, they want to pick up the trilogy or read what you're writing. How do they find you?
QuinnHillier.com. I put out a newsletter every couple of weeks, and which is free and no ads or anything like that to bother you. In the meantime, you Google me, Quinn Hill, your Washington Examiner. Just about every day you've got a new piece or two by me. And then Amazon.com for my book, Mad Jones, Heretic.
Very good. Quinn, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Stay safe. All right, grab your calls about this when we return at 343-0106, 343-0106. Also yesterday, Mayor Stimson said on Twitter he believes the city of Mobile peaked in COVID-19 cases about 10 or 12 days ago. Says the hospitals are probably not quite 50% of capacity, and the number of new cases is flattening, if not declining. At 827 FM Talk 106.5 at Mobile Mornings. Segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Big national company you've heard of, I know, but the local franchisee, a friend of mine, Trey, has been doing this now for 12 years, and they're still working. They're working right now. They're respecting all the social distancing. They're doing the scrubbing. They got the gloves. They got the mask, the whole nine. But you have more time at home right now maybe to get things done, and there may be junk in your way. Or it's time to, a lot of people working in the yard, you want to remove some of those items in your backyard that may not be as important as they once were. Like swing sets, playhouses, if your children are now in their 30s, maybe it's time to let those things go. They can haul big stuff. I know often you think like 1-800-GOT-JUNK, they're moving boxes out of storage units or, you know, getting stuff out of an attic. But they get above ground pool, swing set, playhouse, storage building. They can remove all that stuff as well and get it gone. It's as easy as setting an appointment by calling 1-800-GOT-JUNK or going online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. They set an actual appointment day and time that y'all all agree on. And then they show up and they quote you a price. If you say yes, they get to work and get it done. It is that simple. And it is a great local franchise, and that is 1-800-GOT-JUNK. My buddy Trey, make sure to reach out to him today. I want to look at something real quick here as we get ready to take some calls. Axios has a poll out this morning, Axios and Ipsos. It says the normal now looks too risky poll. The question is, returning to my normal pre-coronavirus life right now is a moderate or large risk? That's the question they asked. Okay, so returning to my normal pre-corona life right now is a large or moderate or large risk. The total, 72% of adults. It was 1,021 adults from April 17th through 20th. They did this poll. 72% said yes. It was too risky.
Too risky.
So they it's a large risk, right? Democrats accounted for 83%, independents 72%, Republicans 62%. Now, I wonder why, you know, what that difference is. It goes on to say, big majorities of Americans in both parties say it'd be too risky to return to normal life right now and would rather wait a few more months. That's according to Axios White House editor Margaret Talev, who writes in the new installment of their Axios Ipsos Coronavirus Index. So it is more Democrats than any group, independents second, Republicans third. But let me point out, Republicans are still 62% saying that they think it is a moderate or large risk to return to their pre-coronavirus life.
Well, I think it is, you know, more risky to return to your pre-coronavirus life. But I don't think that that means you can't get out and start working again, or get out and start supporting some of these small businesses that have been shut down for a month and a half. I think if you do it responsibly, there's still more risk now that you're going to go out and catch coronavirus than there was 3 months ago when it wasn't even on the planet.
Right.
So I think you could say that there is a larger risk,
but don't
also,
we accept risk? I mean, in
every day.
So that's the follow-up question they didn't do there that would ask, but would you engage in that life, even with saying that it's a moderate or large risk? Is that balance, you know, enough? It does say, though, that Americans want a few more months before they go back to it. I don't know how this country goes a few more months without opening back up. Take your calls on that when we return at 343-0106. News is next.
All right, 836 FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings. Right now it's time to check in with Louie Arata from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, Dalton. How are you?
I'm doing good. Are you buying cars right now?
Oh, yeah. I'm sitting in my office drinking a cappuccino trying to buy some cars down in Orlando.
I thought I heard an auctioneer there in the background while we were talking.
Oh, yeah,
there's
a little auctioneer. We're trying to get this used car inventory up a little bit. I mean, we got some great deals on some certified cars. Also, don't forget the website, McConnellAutomotive.com, shop, click, and save, as Mitch would say. Also, don't forget, we'll buy your car. Just call Gene or I, give us a VIN number, the miles. We'll give you a price right over the telephone.
Yeah, and I want to give people a preview of, if they do go to the website, McConnellAutomotive.com, you've got pictures of the entire inventory there. And not only that, but you can see the interior and exterior of each vehicle and get pretty much the whole process of buying a car done right there online.
That's right. We've got a deal called Spin Car, and it just gives you the perfect view of a car. So, I mean, just a 360 degrees all the way around. So, you know, don't forget about us here. Don't forget about the body shop. Gary and guys back there, they'll help you out with anything you need. The service department will pick your car up and come get it serviced. So just don't forget about us, McConnell Automotive.
All right. Thanks, Louie. Have a great day.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65. And check out the website today, McConnellAutomotive.com.
All right, 8:37, and we'll grab some calls here, plus more of the antibody testing news that you need to hear. It's coming up in just a second. Let's go to Thomas and Theodore next. Hey, Thomas.
Good morning, Sean. Good morning, Dalton. Thank you very much for having me on. I want to use my horn and call foul on what's his name? You just absorb little spikes, little deaths of people to the point where it doesn't overrun hospitals. How about let's take your grandfather, and he'll be one of the spikes for this week. What the hell's wrong with that guy? I'm 70 years old. I don't want to be a spike.
I don't think anybody wants. But I don't think anybody wants anybody to be a spike. But let me play devil's advocate and continue here. That for the economy to work, people have to get in cars and drive on roads, and people die when they in car wrecks. So how much of that do we accept as part of it? Right, as we make that decision, there is a danger when you get out of the vehicle. So I mean, is that a false comparison, or do you think there's some equivalency?
No equivalency at all. You don't start out by saying, well, we're going to invade Normandy and we expect 100,000 deaths. You don't do that anymore. It's over and done with. That type of thinking is, oh my God. You don't open up the restaurants and say, well, we're only going to have 10,000 deaths this year because of that. Oh my God, what are you people saying?
I mean, I can say that we should ban certain foods, right? If we banned sugar and fatty foods, we'd have a lot fewer deaths out there as well, wouldn't we?
Well, that's a personal choice,
okay,
to do that. And the numbers that Dalton was talking about being changed or going was they've reassessed the nursing homes. And they got different numbers because they're trying to hide a whole bunch of crap that was happening. But to accept a spike under any circumstance goes against everything I believe in, by God.
There we go. Thomas, appreciate your call. Leaves the line open at 343-0106. This antibody, explain before we get into this, because I know you talked about it last week, but explain what's going on here.
Yeah, so we were talking some last week about Stanford and USC and the Major League Baseball. They're actually planning on testing, I think, 10,000 people in the world of Major League Baseball. 27 of the 30 teams have signed on to get this huge antibodies, coronavirus antibodies study done. And, you know, until now, we've had a lack of testing, at least a lack of randomized testing to see maybe what the true prevalence of COVID-19 is in our population.
And explain why that's important, something we've wondered over time, that, you know, you have a high-graded group, right? Mm-hmm. Because people that are only people who get very, very sick,
right,
usually, or have been with somebody very, very sick, are going to get tested. So you don't, it's not like you have a real sample,
yeah,
a true sample of the population.
Because of the lack of testing to this point, and even now still in our area and many other areas, unless you actually have, you know, the symptoms that they talk about, the shortness of breath, the constant dry cough, the fever, the headache, unless you have any of those symptoms, you're not likely to get tested. So that means that of the people that are getting tested, most of them are sick already, mm-hmm, and may or may not be sick with coronavirus. So the the sample there is not exactly random. It's right. actually far from random. And it's not very widespread, although we're testing more and more people every day. And as the president said on Sunday, we've now tested more than a number of countries combined. I think over, 4 million tests have been performed to this point. But with these antibodies tests, which aren't the same as the nasal swab test that tells you whether or not you have a current case, an active case of COVID-19. The antibodies tests, test two different kinds of antibodies. One that shows that you've had COVID-19 antibodies in your system from a previous,
You had it in your system.
Right. And then another antibody that's tested in there says, how long you've had this in. And somebody can fill me in on the details for exactly what these two different antibody tests that they do. But Stanford and USC, on top of this Major League Baseball study, said that they are doing randomized testing in two counties in California. One is Santa Clara County, which we had the results from yesterday and spoke a little bit about, and over April 3rd and April 4th, Stanford's researchers tested 3,330 people in Santa Clara County, and what they found...
Random sample.
It was...
They put something on Facebook
They put something on Facebook and had people come to these testing sites.
But these weren't people that were necessarily sick.
Correct. It's more random than the tests where you have people who are sick come up and get tested, but not as random as if you were just to, spin the wheel and pick people out of the country.
Fair enough.
So they do have these 3,330 people that they tested, and they found, based on these tests, that when you apply it to the wider population in Santa Clara County, that more than likely between 2.5% to 4.2% of the population has this COVID-19 antibody in their system. And that number for Santa Clara County would mean that between 48,000 and 81,000 people in that county alone may have already been infected, which is about 50 to 85 times more than the number of official cases to date. So that was the Stanford study in Santa Clara County. Today, the USC study from LA County came in, and they're finding very similar numbers here. They say that between 2.8% to 5.6% of the county's adult population, which would be about 221,000 to 442,000 adults when you apply it to the wider population, likely have already been infected from coronavirus. And more than likely, a majority of those haven't had symptoms. They say that estimate's 28 to 55 times higher than the 7,994 confirmed cases that LA County had at the time of this study. So both of these studies point to the likely theory, that more people have been infected with COVID-19 and have had little or no symptoms compared to the actual number of confirmed cases. Now, an even larger study is being done, and I saw a bit about this on Tucker Carlson last night on Fox News, but a hospital, let me see if I can find the story here, a hospital group in Michigan, Beaumont Health, the largest healthcare system in the state, they are going to test, with this antibodies testing, members of that staff. Now, it's the largest healthcare system in Michigan.
So these are frontline healthcare workers.
Right. Well, some. 38,000 employees. Dr. Matthew Sims, who's the director of infectious diseases there at Beaumont, he said they have 38,000 employees, another 4,000 doctors who practice at the hospital and are in private practice, about 1,000 MPs and PAs that work with them. All of those people are eligible to be tested, and as many that will sign up for the test will be tested with this antibodies test. And what they're going to do with this is they'll have a sample of people who are on the front lines and, most likely to catch coronavirus by dealing with these patients day in and day out. And they'll also have people all the way down to those that work in, the warehouse for health systems, people that aren't necessarily in the hospitals day
support
in and day out.
Support staff, part of the,
Right. Okay. And by testing 38,000 people or as close to that number as they can get, then we'll have, I think, the widest sample for COVID-19 antibodies testing yet. The doctor who was on last night, Dr. Sim, said that we'll have the first results likely in about a month to see how many out of those 38,000 did have antibodies in their system. And then from there on, they're also testing here how long those antibodies stay in the system and how long, if you do have coronavirus antibodies, you could potentially be resistant from catching it again.
That's the big question we still don't have an answer to.
Right. And he mentioned that with, I think, SARS and MERS, there's cases where, you know, if you've got antibodies, you could be resistant to reinfection for multiple years, not just like 1 year.
But
like
we don't know that with COVID.
But we don't know that. Okay. We don't even know if someone who has antibodies could be infected again, you know, immediately. We just don't know that. And there's smarter people out there that know, the ins and outs of your standard virus and how long antibodies work or not. But there's so much unknown about coronavirus, about COVID-19, that as many of these large samples, as close to random as we can get, the better of a number, a true statistic we can put on this, a true fatality rate, and that will help inform our economic decisions as well.
You know, it's part of this is if groups say, we don't know right now, we're working on it, you cut them some slack. That is a fair thing. If too many people jump to a conclusion, they know all the answers to things. Let the scientists work this out. We may not know. You may say, well, of course you'll be immune because this other disease, we don't know.
Right.
We don't know. Right, to the phones, and Tony in Baldwin County is up next. Hey, Tony.
Hey, how you doing today?
Doing good, Tony. Thanks for the call.
I've got two comments, but I'd like to comment on the gentleman that just called in that was 70 and
Thomas.
Was so afraid about the spike and everything.
Yes, Thomas. Yeah.
I'm driving a dump truck, so it makes me kind of staticky or something.
Well, you got to turn your radio down, too.
My radio's off.
Okay, good. All right, then it is the truck. All right, sorry, Tony.
Right, sorry about the background. But anyhow, I'm high risk myself. I've had open heart surgery. I think that it should be left up to the individual. You know, if he's so scared that he shouldn't get out and be in public that he might be infected, well, you know, it's his choice. You know, I've got a family. I'm 55, and like I said, I'm high risk because I did have open heart surgery. And I think that, you know, if you're so scared that you don't want to be out and you don't want to be the spike, maybe you should stay at home.
Right.
But don't tell me that's got a family and I've got a small business, you know, driving this old dump truck and everything. Don't tell me that I shouldn't be able to get out and do. And my second point was, I think I've had the virus. Here about a month ago, I self-quarantined, me and my family. I had the dry cough. My chest felt like it was on fire every time I would cough. And I overcame it, you know, by the grace of God. You know, I give him all the glory. But just because you get it, I don't believe that it's going to be fatal just because you get it.
Oh, I think that's been proven, that there's lots of people that get it that it's not fatal, but certain people, and, you know, Tony, I would worry about, you know, your condition, but also you're doing what I like. You're informed of the dangers, and you've made a choice. You've made a free will choice to do that, and I think that's what we're all about, is if, once people have the information and truth, then let people make their choices.
Well, that's what, and I agree with that, you know, but just because you're scared, Don't sit there and say, well, I shouldn't get out and provide for my family. You know, I've got a responsibility to provide for my family. And again, because I'm able to drive these trucks, they said I was deemed essential. So I'm able to get out and still provide for my family. And I'm not, you know, I'm in this truck, and I'm not out. Even if I had it, I wouldn't be around people, you know.
Right.
And so don't. Because you're scared, don't put the finger on me.
Well said, Tony. And I appreciate your call. You stay safe and keep rolling. Keep rolling. We need you. We need you in this economy. We need you at any economy. Folks at CDL, first of my grandparents' grandchildren that did not have a CDL. And Grandma used to look cross-eyed at me like, what's wrong with you,
How
boy?
Dare you?
By the way, Matt says, no disrespect to Thomas, but it's also a personal choice to remain at home if you feel safer there, but don't punish the rest of the world that needs to get back to work.
Hey! Hey! Hey!
Right, Mike Gallagher Show on the way in just about 8 minutes. 5 till the news, and then we'll be back at noon today for Midday Mobile. Plus, 1 o'clock today, What's Working Special Edition with Cam Marston. Do not miss it. It's all coming up today right here at FM Talk 106.5. A couple texts. I want to run through these texts. Some really good text. Here, Ben asking on the text line, a few questions I haven't heard answered are, once reopened, are we supposed to shut down again if numbers spike up? Something I'm wondering, Ben. I don't know. That's why you would think that you would get in front of that. If you're somebody who wants to reopen, you want to say, listen, this is a possibility of happening. You know, you know, information, if you just communicate and get out front of things, then you can deal with them before you have a situation. If there's going to be some big reaction, you deal with it before you've reopened. But I have no answer to that.
Yeah, I think the important thing here, and the most important thing, the most important thing is the health of as many Americans as we can, you know, keep healthy. But as far as doing that, I think the most important thing, and that has been for months now, is testing and getting as much testing and accurate testing out as possible. And the hope here would be, as we start to, you know, slowly reopen the economy here over the next few months, next few weeks, that as we go through the summer months and as people continue to at least socially distance while we continue to work, try to be safe, that during that time more tests become available, better treatment options, mm-hmm. more would hopefully be known about this virus and better ways to contain it if we do see a reemergence of the virus in the fall months.
He asked, what is the max number that will trigger said shutdown? I mean, Ben, you're like in my brain, man. And do you think as many people will adhere to a second shutdown? I will offer a thought on that one. No, I don't. Aussie Girl says, excellent point. I like that dump truck driver over the 70-year-old that has a choice. He can stay home. Katrina says, amen to the truck driver. I agree with him completely. Do not understand how starving a virus works at all. Herd immunity does not ring true to me. We don't have time in that, Katrina, but those are pretty valid ideas. You just have to measure whether that risk is that you starve it by not giving it a new viruses can't reproduce without being in a host, so you don't let them have a new host and you let it dead end with that person. That's one of it. And Paul says demand for his services could go away, talking about Tony and Daphne. That's one risk. If things get worse, maybe they won't be demand for that dump truck service. That's something to think about. So we'll keep that discussion going and do it on the Midday Show today. Starting at noon, Jeff Sessions is going to join us. We'll talk with him and, like I said, Cam Marston and What's Working Special Edition, focused on getting back to work and navigating this economy for small business. 1 o'clock today.
Also going to talk with J.R. Young, someone that we had on the show.
We just get the confirmation?
Yeah. 12:30 today.
All right. Y'all want to figure out why the heck oil is at -$10 a barrel yesterday? We got a specialist joining us today. Cool. 12:30. See you.